Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our study on the book of Job, which is entitled, Is God Guilty as Charged? I realize that it may be difficult for some of you to accept that God had a problem with Job. Even though we've already spent 22 days proving that Job put God on trial with charges against God, that God was unjust for letting him suffer, though he had not done anything wrong to deserve the suffering, some of you still might not believe that God had a problem with Job. Most likely this arises from the reading of two scriptures and a misunderstanding of how to study the Bible. First, let's read the two scriptures. The first scripture is in Ezekiel chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 13 through 14. This is Ezekiel chapter 14 and verses 13 through 14. Son of man, when a land sins against me by committing a trespass, and I stretch out my hand on it, and break the staff of the bread of it, and send famine on it, and cut off from it man and animal, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, says the Lord God. The scripture is telling us here that three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were righteous, and that their righteousness would deliver only themselves, that nobody else would be delivered because of their righteousness. So clearly God says that Job is a righteous person. And now in James chapter 5, in verses 10 through 11, we see something about Job's patience. This is in Job and James chapter 5 and verses 10 through 11. My brethren, as an example of affliction and patience, remember the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we call those blessed who patiently endured. You have heard of the patient endurance of Job and have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. So here we have an example of the patience of Job. Well, if those were the only scriptures pertaining to Job, then that would be the end of the story. Job would be declared patient and righteous. God wouldn't have a problem with him. But that's not the end of the story, because there are a half a dozen other scriptures that show that Job was at times self-righteous and at times anxious. The way to study the Bible is to put line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to put all of the scriptures together to show us the full picture. And this principle of putting line upon line, precept upon precept, going here and taking a little bit what we find that pertains to the scripture, and then going there and taking a little bit from there, that which pertains to the scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth. That principle is found in Isaiah chapter 28 and verses 9 through 10. It's found in Isaiah chapter 28 verses 9 through 10. Matthew Henry's commentary on the whole Bible explains this concept of how to study the Bible wonderfully. And this is a quote. For our instruction in the things of God, it is requisite that we have precept upon precept and line upon line, that one precept and line should be followed and so enforced by another precept and line. The precept of justice must be laid upon the precept of piety. And the precept of charity must be laid upon that of justice. It is necessary that the same precept and the same line should be often repeated and ingrained in us, that we may better understand them and more easily recollect them when the need arises. End of quote. In short, we need to put all of the scriptures together to get the full picture. Now following are the half dozen other scriptures that will help us to see the full picture of Job. First of all, we have Job chapter 32 and verse 2. The wrath of Elihu was kindled against Job because he justified himself rather than God. This was in Job chapter 32 and verse 2. Job justified himself rather than God. Now in chapter 34 verses 7 through 9. What man is like Job, who drinks scorn like water, who goes in company with the workers of iniquity and walks with wicked men? Now how did Job walk with wicked men? Verse 9 explains it. For Job has said, it profits a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. And now Job chapter 35 and verses 2 through 4. This is Job 35 and verses 2 through 4. Do you think this to be right, you that say, I am more just than God? For you say, what will it benefit you, and what good shall I have more than if I had sinned? So we put these two scriptures together where Job said, it profits a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. And that was Job 34, verses 7 through 9. And we put that together with this scripture, which is in Job chapter 35, 2 through 4, where it says, what good shall I have more than if I had sinned? And so Job is saying, it doesn't do me any good if I do righteousness, because look how I'm sinning. I might as well just have sinned. Nothing worse could have happened to me. So he's actually saying that he's more just than God, and he's being sinful. He's walking with wicked men because he's reasoning that God is not fair, God is not just, that Job is more just than God is. Because Job is saying, listen, I did everything right, and God's not doing right because God's not doing right by me. God is wrong. I'm more just than God. That's what he was saying. Now in Job chapter 34, verses 35 through 37, we see this. This is in chapter 34, verses 35 through 37. Job has spoken without knowledge, and his words were without wisdom. Would that Job may be tried to the end of this court case, because his answers are like men of iniquity. Now, again, how is he like men of iniquity? Verse 37 answers it. For Job adds rebellion to his sins. He multiplies his words against God. The more he talks, the more he's talking against God. You remember at first, it so said that Job did not sin or charge God foolishly. And then it said after that, Job did not sin with his lips. Well, now Job is sinning with his lips, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the more he spoke, the more he was actually sinning, because he was multiplying his words against God. That's how he was like the men of iniquity. That's how he was walking with wicked men, the workers of iniquity. He was saying, I am more just than God. What profit does it have in serving God? None. I might as well have sinned, because look what's happening to me. And then when you look at people that do sin and they die in a ripe old age, you know, what good is it? I don't see any benefit in it. And now in verse 13 and 16 of Job chapter 35, this is in Job chapter 35, verses 13 through 16. You can see again that he's multiplying his words against God. Surely God will not hear vanity. That's what Job was speaking, just words that didn't have any worth to them. So they're useless, they're vain. God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty look on vanity. How much less when you say, you do not see God. Judgment is before him, and you are waiting for him, and he's going to show up. And now, because his anger has not been visited upon you, and he does not recognize your stupidity. So Elihu is clearly saying, Job, you're being stupid in all that you're saying. And Job is basically taking the posture, well, I can say what I want. Nothing more can happen to me. And Elihu is saying, oh, wait a minute now. Because his anger has not been visited upon you. So God, if he was angry at you, he could do a lot worse, Job. But because his anger has not been visited upon you, you're thinking that he does not recognize your stupidity. Now in verse 16, but Job, you are opening your mouth in vanity. You are multiplying your words without knowledge. You're being foolish, Job. And now we can end up in chapter 36 and verse 21. This is Job chapter 36 and verse 21. Elihu is saying, beware, Job, do not continue to turn to iniquity and walk with the men of iniquity, for this is what you have chosen rather than affliction. So Job is saying, man, my suffering is too much to bear. God, you're not fair. And so he was turning to iniquity rather than allowing himself to patiently endure the affliction of God. And so we can see the anxiety in this case, that he said, I'd rather die than continue this suffering. And we know that God says that we should patiently endure the suffering because it is a trial of our faith. And once our patience has been developed, then we will become perfect, lacking in nothing. We'll be complete. But we have to allow a trial to have its perfect work, to be completed. And Job was saying, I want to short circuit this trial. I want to pull the plug on it. I would rather die than continue in this affliction. And we can understand why a person would say that, why Job said that, because none of us, I don't believe, have ever suffered to the extent that Job did. Nevertheless, because of Job's enduring trial, he became anxious and self-righteously justified himself rather than God. Now granted, these are only the words of a man, Elihu, but we will see in future programs that God backed up what Elihu said, because indeed God had a problem with Job being self-righteous and losing his patience. Well, thank you for joining me on this program. I hope you will be back for the next program, and may God be in you. Before you go, please let me make a special announcement. Currently, we meet every Saturday in various people's homes. We plan to continue that most of the time. But since we are also planning to expand our ministry, we are looking for a, quote, permanent place, unquote, to meet so that we can be of greater service to the community. For instance, we would like to invite more people to Bible studies. We would like to conduct our free seminars more frequently. We would like to distribute food to the hungry, collect clothes and school supplies for the Tumaini Community Orphan School that we support in Kenya, Africa, and on and on. So if you have an available facility or know of an available facility, such as a church, a school, or a storefront, that can accommodate about 50 people for a couple of hours on a Saturday, then please call Glenn Williams at 404-412-0032, or you can send him an email at information@christianambassadors.org. Again, the phone number is 404-412-0032, and the email address is information@christianambassadors.org. Your service will be greatly appreciated, and we thank you in advance in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org. Or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.